Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, was trying to figure out why I'm still single. Listen, the mystery's still out there. We don't know. But my guest today is a legendary drag queen, trans activist, and mother to many drag children from the House of Colby. She is the winner of season 15 of RuPaul's Drag Race and is about to embark on her North American tour. Ooh, I'm so fucking excited. It's Sasha Colby.
And the crowd goes wild, wild, wild.
Yeah. Hi, Sasha.
Everyone.
How are you?
And I, too, am wondering, why won't you date me?
Wait, are you single?
Sort of. Sort of. We'll see. We'll see by the end of this.
We'll see. Well, it's the Christmas season, so ho, ho, ho. I fucking want Santa to bring me a man down the chimney and put him under a tree so I could wake up and go, ooh, you're in my house.
A little gingerbread man.
I would take a gingerbread man. That would be nice.
I would take a gingerbread man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sweet, bendy, can't really run too fast away.
Wait, okay, so you grew up in Hawaii.
Did.
That's amazing. What was it like growing up in Hawaii? Was it just like nice weather all the time and like playing in the sand? That's what I envision.
Pretty much. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, my front yard was the ocean, my backyard was the mountains. Mm-hmm. It was like paradise. But of course, you're like, you don't really think about that or care or like really like are appreciative until I like left there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I grew up in paradise, you know, the Aloha State. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, actually.
And you growing up had blonde hair and you have naturally green eyes. So what was it like growing up Hawaiian, but not looking specifically Hawaiian?
Yeah.
Is that a thing that you had to encounter?
Yeah, that really is something I had to encounter a lot. I grew up in a very small, very not affluent little town, mm-hmm. beach town. That was like specifically set aside for Native Hawaiians. And like, you know, everyone there was pretty Hawaiian, but mm-hmm. they were all mixed, you know, like how everyone's mixed in Hawaii. But I probably had the most Hawaiian of any of my classmates. My dad's one of the last Native, like full blood Hawaiians, mm-hmm. 100% Hawaiian. And my mom was about half. So I had a little over half, but I did not look it. And I would constantly call like Haole, which means like foreigner.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I was blonde, green eyes, light skin, and queer. Oh my God. I didn't have a chance.
God, that's like the trifecta.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and then like weird religious kid on top of that too.
Oh wait, you grew up Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah.
Is that where you go door to door knocking, being like, hey, do you love God?
That's where we would like, yeah, they would like make us do stuff.
What's that like?
Which are like child labor laws, I wonder about child labor laws. It's just wild because like you would do that to people and people would pretend that they're not home because they could see you guys coming. But you would then on Halloween do that to the trick-or-treaters.
Oh, that's so funny. Just be like, not home. We don't have any candy here. Sorry about it. I wonder what someone would do if they had anxiety about knocking on someone's door. That must just knock it right out of you.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I guess the delusion that they were peddling, the reasoning or fear.
So did you date a lot when you were younger or no? Did you date like, are you a late bloomer, early bloomer? What kind of bloomer?
I was a late bloomer for sure. Mm-hmm. I like knew I was a girl like at five. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as like we got into kindergarten, they started separating us for like, you know, in our gender groups. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm with the girls. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? So like, I remember I had a crush on like my fifth grade, really like my like kindergarten crush was this girl, Charisse, and she knows this. She's out there. Mm-hmm. And she thinks it's hilarious. But Charisse Pimentel, she was the most beautiful girl in our class. And I wanted to be with her, but actually I wanted to be her. I didn't know what that, like, if, like, it was just all affection mm-hmm. to me, like admiration. I did closeted date like a few girls in high school.
Oh.
There was like one or two. But it was like, you know, like, well, my first one was like actually eighth grade, I think. Like we dated for like a month where you like hold hands.
Yeah, and you don't do anything else. You know,
like kind of see each other in passing and you sit next to each other. Yeah, it was really that. But I think like everyone was like, why is she going with a gay kid? Yeah, that was still rather feminine. It was just, you know, still pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But then high school, there was one. And then that was just, yeah, it was just kind of awkward mm-hmm. for me.
You're like, I don't really know about this, but it's what I think I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's like the person or the gender or if it's just me trying to figure it out or myself, like trying to figure out what I like mm-hmm. and even who I am first. So it's hard if you know. You don't know who you are. You don't really know what you like, right? How you gonna love somebody else, right? Can I get an amen?
Oh, amen. Yeah, I mean, it takes a while to figure out what exactly you like and what you're looking for. I mean, it took me so long. I just realized I'm looking for someone who's emotionally available and wants to be in a relationship and is nice to me and likes me, which seems like...
Isn't that like foreign and wild and kind of a hard one? That's a hard card to,
it is.
To check off each one.
Because I've spent so much time chasing people who actively are like, oh, I don't want to be in a relationship. And I'm like, yeah, but you'll change your mind after being with me for a little bit. It's like,
it's so funny because like I just assumed that I deserve a douchebag because that's all that was attractive mm-hmm. to me for years. And I tell my friends, I actually told them last week, I'm like, I am so emotionally crippled by men. That even if you are a mildly attractive man
uh-huh.
and are in a position where you're getting paid to be of service to me, mm-hmm. like a waiter, or just your job is to be nice, I think, because how men have treated me, that I'm in love with you
yes.
just because you were nice to me.
Yes. I can't tell you how many servers, flight attendants, valets that like are slightly attractive that I'm like, oh my God, you truly love me. Oh my
yeah.
God.
Well, and then that's when I'm like, I like look at one of my friends and I'm like, my baby. My baby.
That's my baby. I once had a server and I left him my phone number and then he ended up texting me. And then I was like, oh my God, are you going to like take me out? Like I was just like bold and brazen. And then he was like, oh no, I'm not interested in that. And I was like, then why did you text me? Why on earth?
Why did he text?
He didn't have an answer. He was like, oh, I just thought it was fun
really?
That you left your number. And I was like, but why would I leave my number for anything but dating? I don't want a friend. I have friends.
Why would you follow up? And don't follow up.
Don't. Leave me alone if you don't want me. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone because I don't know nothing about no mixed signals. If it's my way, it's for me.
So after Drag Race, did your inbox start booming with people being like, do you want to date me? Can I take you out?
None.
Really?
Like none of that. No. I have no idea where they are. I'm looking for that folder. Literally actively searching, going through, seeing if there's anyone.
Wait, that absolutely blows my mind.
It's all money. Just money.
Well, what are you looking for? Let's try to manifest something right now.
Okay. So, like, I mean, can't tell you my track record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the two huge relationships that I've been in was probably, like, when I was, like, 28. It was, like, my first, like, actual, like, in it relationship was I just wanted this continental. So, I was already a trans woman, mm-hmm. but married a lesbian.
Okay.
Fell in love like lesbians too. Uh-huh. Became a lesbian, moved right in immediately. I had a relationship that was like one big relationship was having this lesbian experience. And like the last and only other relationship really was with a trans man.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been dabbling in all kinds of arts here, testing the waters and seeing what I like. And as of right now, I do enjoy a good old man.
Mm hmm.
That is not an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That is like not like I really would like to meet a nice guy. That would be the things that you had said and stated. Those are actually what I'm actively as a 39-year-old now valuing.
Yeah, because you don't value that shit early on. You're just like, I don't know. Are they cute? Do they have a car? Are they going to pay for dinner? And it's like, I can pay for my own dinner. I'm cute. I have a car. But yeah. Like, do we argue over fundamental things? Like, are you kind? Do you respect yeah. me? Do you respect yourself?
Do you know when to use the there and there and there are? You know, do you have good grammar? You know where to put an apostrophe uh-huh. because I am a bit of a grammar police. Are you like, can you hold a conversation?
Yes.
Which is really hard for a lot of men.
It really is. And I don't know yeah. what it's about, but I feel like it's getting worse.
Yeah, they're just resorted to grunting now and like head nods.
Uh-huh. And you're like, what is this? I was like,
oh, so we're king. And I'm like, I think it goes back to like the fact that there's like crickets in the DMs. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm aware that I may be a bit intimidating. When once meeting me. So I don't know. Even though completely naked on global television, I thought that would help.
I don't know if you're intimidating because I did get to meet you okay, in right? person. It was at Bosco's face reveal. Where is that? Mickey's? No.
It was at
where
Heart.
Was that? Yeah. Heart, yes. And I saw you walk in and I was like, it's Sasha Colby. And I like scurried behind you and I was like, Sasha, I'm sorry. And you were like, hello, because it was an area I was not supposed to be in. And then you were like, oh, hello. And to me,
yeah, it's like, oh my god, I love you.
I was like, you smell divine, you are stunning, and you're like a woman who I don't know, you're like a woman, like I don't know how to describe it other than it's like, when do I get to be a woman? And it's like, I don't know if it's in the cards for you, Nicole. I just don't think it's there. Like, your outfit now for, like, chill relaxing is, like, this, like, I don't know. It's, like, a blouse that's tied up with, like, tiger print. Like, you look... Like, this is a going out outfit to me. I'm like, this is a woman.
Well, thank you. I mean, first of all, woman. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I got some, like... An adult that helps. Like if I was like talking to someone, I don't know, 25 and under, like I wouldn't know what to talk to them about. Mm-hmm. You know, that's also a thing. Looking for a more mature person.
Yes, somebody
like a handle a woman.
Yeah, a little older, like traveled, has seen a little bit. Yeah,
like a little silver fox. I don't mind that. I like the fact that you could slam down a black card as well.
Ooh, a silver fox.
Yes, you earned them gray hairs.
After you won Miss Continental, wait, so you were in a relationship when you won Miss Continental, yes?
No, as soon as I won.
Oh, okay.
Like, the night I won, I met her. Wild, right?
That is wild. How, what, it's like truly kismet, where it's like, just like the highest of highs, you win a competition and then you meet someone that you fall in love with. That's truly so wonderful. And how long were you together?
A glorious 2 years.
Okay. That's a solid amount of time. It's longer than any relationship I've had.
Well, and in those 2 years, like a good old lesbian, we got married and divorced.
I love it. The U-Haul stayed in the driveway.
Baby, the motor was still running.
Oh my God. I love that. So wait, when did you move to LA?
Right after that. Mm-hmm. It was 2014.
Okay.
And yeah, been here ever since. So it's going to be about 10 years. My 10-year anniversary is coming up.
Do you find dating to be harder? Wait, you moved. So when you won Miss Continental, where were you living? Were you still in Hawaii?
I was in Chicago when I won, which is okay. Where the pageant is located. And the owner of the pageant actually owns a show bar there called the Baton mm-hmm. Show Lounge. And I used to work there as showgirl. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like my college days in Chicago.
Okay.
Graduated with a crown. And then I took a little detour to Orlando, where I was with the wife.
Okay.
And then hightailed it to LA.
Where do you think LA is harder to date than Chicago?
I see. Okay. So when I was in Chicago, it was like 2006 to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, what is the one? Oh, there was a couple of these dating apps, but it was like very of that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like right before even Tinder was around. I forget the name of the apps, but that's the only place you could go. And It wasn't a place where you like disclosed that you were trans. So then there was that whole hurdle. But I felt like it was really conservative in that early 2000s in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it still might be a little more conservative. So dating was a little interesting, which is where I kind of learned how to date, which was very awkwardly. The dating there was, you know, just hooking up. Like if you're a trans girl and, you know, they're not taking you out on a date. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're like, let's stay in, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. So it was very a muddled existence dating in that time there. Then I went to LA. And it was like a lot more free and mm-hmm. people were a lot more open to dating a trans woman from like 2014 to now. I mean, it's a lot more open and a lot more people are okay with like, you know, expressing themselves or like entertaining the idea without worried about the gender mm-hmm. roles. So I think it is a little easier, but I think LA is in general like crazy for anyone to date. It's probably the worst place to date.
Yeah.
Like pretty people, but it's just like, you know, everyone's here for a reason. So mm-hmm. there's always like an underlying motive of why we would be talking. And that usually comes out eventually.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
I would say. Yeah. And I haven't figured out. It's funny because like I've said before, I'm like, I don't like it when someone doesn't tell me that they know who I am. But then I also don't like it when people immediately tell me who they are or that they know who I am. So there is no happy medium. And it's just like all about vibes. And it's like what you like or don't like and the person's vibe. It's just everything is LA is the weirdest place I've ever lived. And and I don't think I'll ever leave it.
The fact that I'm getting used to it. Is scary.
Yeah. You're just like, whatever, it's LA.
Oh my gosh. Especially traveling this whole year and going to so many different places and realizing like what is happening in LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll do a show somewhere else and you're just like, oh, people are normal and quiet here.
People are normal and like, yeah, sweet and have a vast vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. And have interests and hobbies and do shit.
Yeah. What a novel idea.
Have you been traveling since Drag Race has ended?
Yeah, like nonstop. Every week, it's like two or three different cities.
Oh my God. What do you do for self-care? What do you do to like stay grounded within you?
I finally had a break. Like I finally had like a two 2-week break, and I'm going to have another break like in January. But I just, you know, I was so excited to like get the big one. And I really wanted an old school pageant girl. I wanted to have a good reign. I want to have a good reign and, you know, get every single one of my flowers all over the place. And it was like a victory lap because half of those places I would work for the past 20 years. So it was like coming home and people were so excited in all like so many cities, like San Antonio or Orlando, even, you know, Chicago. It's been really nice. I mean, as corny as it sounds, like I do live, because I'm a Leo and I'm a ham. I do live for a good old meeting. They do like amp you up, like an hour of you to tell me how amazing I am. I couldn't possibly.
And y'all do meet and greets before the show, right?
I have to, because I will be too sweaty and drunk.
Fair. When I did them, I would do them after because I was like, I get too nervous before a show. And I'm like, I need to go over my set. And it's like, I can't meet you and like give you attention.
Yeah.
I have to like perform and then after. And then I'm also like, what if you hate me? What if you hate me? You don't. And then you're like, oh, God, I can't believe I met her before. She fucking sucked.
Well, I definitely feel that because especially you have to like talk. Mm-hmm. And speak. I'm just lip syncing and dancing, so like it's easier.
Not just for
you. I
that
mean,
shit's hard.
Cardio.
It really is. I've lip synced to one thing in a show, and I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm not even saying anything. I'm out of breath. So wait, nobody's like when you're out in the world, nobody's like throwing themselves at you. No one's like, you know, trying to be like, hey, let me take you to dinner while you're in San Antonio or like whatever?
Not a lot. I mean, the fan base who does know me aren't, I mean, they're, you know, the queers, you know, the they, thems and the gays and all of them. And like, they just, you know, they love mother. But I mean, the guys that are attracted to maybe someone like me, they're not really watching the show. Like, no, but yeah, there is a level of anonymity that I can still have at least trying to date or find someone. But like at a certain point, like I've been like the dirty secret to so many guys as a trans girl, like always shame always comes attached with your affection. And at the end of the day, it's always like a letdown because they're like, oh, I really care about you, but how am I going to bring home to my parents and my mom wants kids and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they deny themselves what they like. But like, I'm a little stone. I forgot what I was saying. Hold on. Circle back.
Being someone's dirty little secret.
I've been a dirty little secret for so long. I need somebody to kind of be a little fanny. Like, I want you to kind of know, like, the weight of what our, like, this movement and this job and like, the responsibility that I have. I want you to know that. And I want you to think that, like, what I do is cute, your cute little job, you know? No. Like, there's, like, history behind this and being made because, I mean, that's all we're allowed to do is try and make something for history. Because they won't tell us, but let us tell the truth now.
Yeah, I feel like with any occupation, anybody you date should be your biggest fan of, like, what you do. Like, I don't think I could date anybody who came to a show and was like, oh, yeah, I didn't really like it. Because then it's like, oh, my God, you don't like my humor?
I can respect you.
You don't think I'm funny? It's my whole thing.
That's my charm, my wiles.
It's what people like the most about me, and you don't like it? Like, I would lose my...
Yeah, I would want you to, like, drop off the face of the earth.
Yeah, like, that's a wrap on that. We can't be out here like this.
Swipe left.
Yeah, goodbye. Sasha, real quick, we gotta take a break. Sp- Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Ooh, boop, boop. We're back. Okay, so before you got on Drag Race, you took acting and improv classes?
I did a few at Groundlings, like one little one-off. So my friend actually would study there, and we would actually do some like Growlings exercises at his house as well, like because I was always a little too scared to actually go all the way. But yeah, that kind of helped for actually funny things. So my friend had a bunch of friends, you know, that was at Growlings and did improv and could do impersonation. So when I was getting ready and practicing for Drag Race, we like had game night and we told his friends to come and we're gonna do like a fun snatch game. And they all knew what Snatch Game was. So I was actually like practicing and they didn't know that I was like practicing my character. Oh.
Honestly, that's so fucking smart.
Yeah. I mean, and I was with like some really great people that like I could have get drowned over, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was like really good help to think like, okay, what are you going to do when, what will you do when someone actually is like killing it right next to you? Mm-hmm. Like, how will you bounce off of that and not get like choked
out? I love that. I think that's so smart. I feel like all the queens should do in acting in an improv class.
Absolutely.
Because they do a lot of acting challenges. I was just rewatching season 7. It's all acting challenges with no actors, and I love it.
That was a fun one.
It's so funny.
I loved it when they had a bunch of gymnastics. Remember the gymnastics that cheerleading one?
Yes. What season was that? That was great.
What in the hell?
It was so funny. And I was like, and you've never seen it again because I think that's where Eureka hurt herself. And then it's like, oh, yeah, you're throwing other human beings into the sky. Like, what do you expect is going to happen?
The way that I was thinking, yeah, let's try. Let's see. Let's see if this works.
Let's do it. Who cares? Whatever.
Yeah. Take a chance.
I have a question. Did you take dance classes as a child or are you like self-taught?
No, I took dance classes. I'm a product of my dance studio. It's this studio that's still around. It's in Hawaii called 24/7 Dance Horse Studios. And me and all my friends that are still my friends to this day, we all came from that dance studio and still work and create together. Great. I used to teach little kids at like beginning cakey hip hop.
Oh, that's fun. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't like
this
kids,
is hip hop.
But I think teaching kids hip hop would be very fun.
Oh, it's fun. They were actually amazing. And now they're like adults and I feel old.
I mean, I went home for Thanksgiving. I went to see my family at Thanksgiving and all of my cousins are like 20 now. And I was like, when did you get so tall and old? Like, how is this happening?
Also, and, how can you? Because I'm still 20.
Right? I'm 21. I'm so young. Just so youthful. So, okay, Sasha, it's the end of the year. Do you have any, like, New Year's resolutions in terms of dating or just, like, in life?
I mean, this is going to be a hard year to top, I must say. I've had, like, some crazy blessings. But I guess for life, it's just to be able to keep our creating art and having fun, and we were able to work with my friends and playing dress up like I used to do when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. But I still don't get paid to do it. It's wild. Keep on doing a lot of that. And as for love, oh, darling. Yeah, I'm down. I'm open for anything, you know, I'm open for whatever comes my way.
Yeah, I'm trying to be open and be like, whatever that's going to come to me, as long as it's like respectful, nice, and emotionally available. But I was like, before we even jumped on here, I was like swiping through Tinder and I was like, oh my God, everybody on here. I mean, people aren't garbage. Everyone is magic in their own way. People are wonderful. But I was like, none of these people are for me.
It's a lot of swipes.
A lot of swiping, a lot of like, no, thank you. Then I was on Raya and I was a lot of no, thank you. And then I was like, when will I see something I like?
I tell you, Raya is the craziest thing because it's like, it's the, you match, you say hello, and then you never speak again.
Yes.
It's so weird.
Yes. I don't get it. I matched with, well, this one guy I matched with, he was like, are you in LA? Where are you right now? And I was like, I'm in LA, but I'm going to be in New York for like 2 weeks. And then he was like, I'm going to be in New York in 2 weeks. And then we exchanged dates or whatever. And I simply forgot to hit him up while I was there because like he wasn't that cute. He was fine. And then when I was in New York, he sent me so many messages that I was like, ooh, well, diva, we're all thirsty out here, but I'm not that thirsty. Also, you're going to kill me?
Also, like, share your location.
Truly, tell all my friends where I'm at because this man is coming for me.
Wild. Yeah, talk about no follow through or that.
Yes.
That's where we are. Like, there's no happy medium.
Zero to 100. It's so wild. Wait, you're the youngest of 7 children?
Yeah.
That's so many kids. Did you ever feel like you got lost in the shuffle?
Well, actually, like, I was 13. I was born 13 years after the youngest one. So they were all, there were 6 that, like, when I was born, they're like, the 2 oldest already had kids. So I kind of had, like, an only child experience. And, like, my brothers and sisters felt like my aunts and uncles. And like their kids, who were my nieces and nephews and older than me, felt like my cousins. And I was like with these 2 old people for parents. Like my mom had me when she was 48.
I was with these 2 old people as parents.
Why am I stuck with the old people? 1 child, 2 elders. That was a cheap movie.
That's so funny. Why did they have a reason as to why they took such a long gap?
Do you want to know what my dad said?
Uh-huh.
He said he forgot to pay the cable bill, so they had nothing else to do that night.
What a wild thing to say to somebody.
What a poet. Yes, to your child.
Well, we didn't pay the cable bill. And
at like 5:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. Chuckle.
God, that's so funny. When did you come out as trans to your family, if you don't mind me asking?
No, not at all. I graduated when I was 18 and like secretly started taking hormones and then ran away. And like when I ran away at 19, I had told them. I'm 19 tits already.
Wait, so you had tits before you told your parents?
Like, in tandem.
Oh, okay. I mean, I kind of like that. I like that bold, like, I'm going to do what makes me happy and what feels true to me.
I ran away because, you know, they're super religious, so I didn't know how they're going to take it. So I'm like, let me just run away to Vegas and, you know, knew a bunch of trans, like, friends there that helped me, like, you know, get hormones and do all that stuff. And
So wait, you were in Vegas for a little bit?
I was. I was a citizen of the world, let me tell you. I've lived
truly
lives.
Truly, just all over.
Yeah, at 19, I was in Vegas. And that's the worst place to be, a 19-year-old. Like, you can't do anything in Vegas.
Yeah, 21 is definitely the age that you need to be in Vegas. Like, truly, yeah, you can't even go into the casinos, right?
Can't go anywhere. You can't even sit. You can't even sit or walk through this casino. Yeah, it was nuts.
And then how long were you in Vegas?
Oh, like 3 months. And then I moved back to Hawaii because I couldn't. I wanted to be dancing, but I wasn't going to move back, or like, unless, you know, I was treated like a woman. And so that was the truth. And then I ended up moving back home in with my family. And it was hard for them, but I'm just shoved it. I was like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? And I mean, you can love me or you can like throw me out, but I'm going to milk it as long as I can. Yeah. So they kind of always, it was always rough. And I actually don't have a relationship with, my father had passed a few years ago, but I don't have a relationship with any of my family because they're still religious and there's, you know, just a lot of hang up. So I've distanced myself and practiced healthy boundaries. And as soon as I did that, all the blessings from the show happened. So,
I mean,
that's that confirmation.
Wild that people are like, family is family. And it's like, yeah, but if family disrespects you or if family doesn't accept you, it's like, then you do have to put up boundaries and then go find your chosen family, the people who do accept you and love you for who you are. Because you mentioned, I think it's Mahu, which is the third gender in Hawaiian culture that represents masculine and femininity. And for your family to be Hawaiian and not recognize that in you is so, like, it's strange to me. And I understand, like, being like, okay, we're religious and this is what we believe, but then it's like, but at our roots we believe in Hawaiian values and stuff like that.
Well, the thing with religion, especially like something like very cult centered like being Jehovah's Witness, I mean, every religion, it's the main thing that they do is they wipe out any ethnicity in a group. So for you to first be proselytized, you have to first reject your you know, what's running through your blood. And I think that's a big thing with a lot of indigenous, a lot of, you know, POC people, is that there's a loss of their culture and their indigenous culture because they're wrapped up in the misogyny of religion, the patriarchy, these masculine roles that are super toxic. Those are all man-made. That's all to keep us oppressed. And it's wild to see when, like, especially like, you know, the guys who are like, you know, toxic masculinity, or like even the machismo-ness. It's like, that's all conditioning that the white man told you to act like. And you're just like buying into it. And now you don't even like your own ethnicity or like your, what your, what's going through your veins even, you know? But yeah, that's always the hard part. And I'm like, cool. I've made like peace with that, with the fact that like, you know, sometimes family is maybe not always what everyone else gets, but it's showing you how much you deserve. And for me, it's like, how many years and how many things am I going to do to try and make them like me? Not even love me, just like me.
Yeah.
And like, how much self-hate is that for me to be, keep on going to bat to what I know is not good for me? It's like going to a battered situation. Especially now, if I'm going to be this mother to everyone and like be a point of inspiration, I have to like act it, you know, I have to
walk like live the walk truth that you're trying to show people.
Yeah, yeah. You cannot settle for anything less than you deserve.
Yeah, I fully fucking agree. And I, do you go to therapy?
Yeah, of course. Had to. I did therapy. I did meditation. I did retreats. I've done doula classes. I've done, you know, Bufo, talk, frog venom, toad venom. Like,
I've done it all. I did it all, Diva.
Baby. I've tried to heal this shell, honey.
Yeah, it's
so
just
I don't
truly
attract no broken man.
It's just wild how like settled in your truth you are. And it's just, it's nice. Because sometimes I'm like, I know who I am. I'm settled in my truth. And then I'm like, but am I? Who am I? What's going on?
Oh, I mean, when this phone is off, like, she is toxic mama, okay? She's Britney Spears toxic. She is
I love
a
that.
Neurotic mental case, I'm telling you right now.
When did you start getting into drag?
I think when I started dance, and soon after that, that was like my first bunch of like queer friends, like gay friends, mm-hmm. like happy gay boys that were like outwardly flamboyant. I'm like, ooh, sassy, mm-hmm. you know? But they actually showed me Miss Continental VHS. It was mm-hmm. back then. Yeah, it was a VHS of, it was like, I think 2001 Miss Continental.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually the winner was from Hawaii. And Yoshiko Shiro, she was amazing. But I just got into drag and pageants all, and then competing all like at once. It was just like, sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to be like in the girl lineup.
I've been to one pageant. I've been to Alaska has a pageant.
Yeah.
But what is the pageant circuit like? Like, how many pageants are you doing a year?
Ooh, I mean, there are tons of like, smaller pageants and national pageants. And I mean, they range from, I mean, it's going all year long. So mm-hmm. depending on the pageant you want to do, you kind of know when that's going to happen and you prepare whether in the year or 6 months, preparing yourself for the pageant, you know, saving up money, buying the right gown, working on who you are. And pageants are so great because I feel like it's like a mirror to yourself, like how like even mm-hmm. doing Drag Race, like you're like a brand, right? And you have to like sell your brand. You're like the advertiser. You mm-hmm. kind of have to know like the strengths and weaknesses of your product and how to market that. And it's like really good life lessons. So I just always loved the competing, and I loved fashion and the sparkles.
The fashion, the sparkles, the glamour.
The glamour, darling. The mid-Atlantic accent of it all.
Yes, diva, darling. Oh. So wait, during a pageant, it's like a dancing. No. What is it? There's a talent portion.
There's different like categories, but for the most part, there's usually like a talent, some sort of fashion, either gown mm-hmm. or sometimes there's a swimsuit or creative costume, depending on the pageant. But there's always like a few categories, but mostly it's a talent, and there's like a question and answer or some sort of interview.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to, you know, be talented and have something to say, which is kind of hard.
That's all? Just be talented and have something to say?
Well, if you want to win. try to find that. It's all the fun. I think that's what drag is, like trying to figure out who you are in front of people,
mm-hmm.
which is like the craziest thing. You know, you get read by your other like drag queens, you get judged by people in a forum and, you know, on social media, but it makes you tougher and makes you hone your craft.
Mm-hmm. Sasha, real quick, we gotta take a break. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can, like, order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter. Where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group. Where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season. Where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door. Where you can rise with the tide, and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
So you were on season 15, right? Was that the first time that you had auditioned, or had you auditioned years before?
This is my first time ever.
Oh, I love that. First time auditioning, and then you're like, I'll just win the whole thing. How about that?
Let me go. And every step was like, ooh. Oh, did that.
I did. Ooh, okay. What advice do you have for all the single people out there who are, looking for somebody this holiday season, or just looking for someone in the new year, or just looking in general?
I mean, it is cuffing season, right?
I believe so.
You know, no one's going to meet you if you're just on your phone all day. Gotta go out. I feel like there's no, like, going out and meeting people. Like, the fun of, like, getting ready to go out to the club, like, on Saturday, when you know all the cute people are going to be, and you get excited, or, I feel like hopefully we can all get out there and start meeting each other and, like, meet cutes. It'll be fun. Meet cutes.
Meet cutes are fun, and I'm constantly trying to do a meet cute. Like, I, anytime I go out, I'm just, like, staring at people being like, you? Is it going to be you? And it's like, no, it's not. It's not going to be them, Nicole.
I've had a few meet cutes in my life.
Yeah?
One or two words. Like,
wait, where? Where are you having these meet cutes? So I can go there and try to have a meet cute too.
At a gay bar, babe.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was that one, you know, that one that was just there with his friend. There for a party.
And you're like, you'll do. This is great.
Anyway, you'll do for the night.
I think meeting someone in person, it just sounds like it's fine to meet someone online, but I've been doing it for so long that I'm like, it would just be nice to, like, have a conversation with someone in person, and then one of us be like, hey, do you want to continue this conversation another day?
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, I would.
That would be nice. Yeah, that would be amazing. Instead of first going through this, like, clinical screening of all the things you find aesthetically pleasing or not, you know, deal breakers. And then really try to figure out, while talking to this stranger, if he's a serial killer or not. You know, making sure he's not on any wanted lists or any, you know, predators in your area.
Yeah, run that name through a police thing and be like, are you okay to go out with?
Give me that database, honey.
Wait, are you on the apps or no?
I'm on Raya.
Okay.
But that's about it.
I'm having trouble on Raya. I just paid for the feature that shows you who already likes you, and it was like $40. And I was like, this isn't worth it. Barely anybody likes me. I thought the likes would roll in. And it's like, sorry, bitch.
I gave you $40 to tell you who doesn't like me
today. I mean, basically, that's what I did. Because I'm like, ain't nobody be liking me over here. This is terrible. Oh, dating. Okay. What is, like, have you ever had a first date where you were like, oh my God, I think I'm in love?
Oh, yeah. Like, every day. I'm a perpetual, like, fall in love her faster, like really quickly. And then I have to like catch myself before I hit the honeymoon suite and like, you know, figure out. Like if I like you, like I can't even like focus. I'm like planning the wedding and like setting the register at Williams Sonoma, you know? So yeah, there's been many oh my God. I'm like so in love. I mean, probably the waiter that bought me the bread, you know, the unlimited breadsticks. I'm like, I'm in love.
I'm in love. I love this bread. I love you. I love Olive Garden.
Because when you're there, you're with family.
Your family. What's a date you've been on where, like, you were like, I can't believe this person's acting like this. What's going on?
Do you want to hear a trans tale right now?
Yes.
Like, it was like one of my first dates. I was in Vegas. You know, I'm female. I'm limiting. Mm-hmm. Got this cute guy. Looks sporty, like, kind of. Like really tan, had like sweatpants, and we went to go see a movie in like a t-shirt, like a Nike shirt and a hat. And in the movie theater, decides to tell me and show me his purple lace panties that he had on.
Uh huh.
And I'm like 19.
Yes.
And I'm like, is this what dating is like?
Is this what everyone's gonna do? Everyone's gonna have purple lace panties?
Like it is in. Like burned in my brain. I don't own purple panties for that reason.
That's so
I
funny.
Mean,
you're
now
like, I just can't
hot.
Even wear
now
a
as
purple
a 40
panty.
Year old, I think it's hot. I'm like, work, where's the garter? But that was kind of like, is this what dating is?
Kind of is. It's just, you know, how weird are you?
You just go on a date waiting for someone to show their fetish. And I feel like with the trans girls, it's always these boys that are like, they're just like trying it for the first time. They're like, oh, let me like go out with a trans girl. And then they think just because they're like satisfying like one fetish or like a kink that they would see us as, then they want to like order it up like they're at McDonald's. They want to be like, well, do you have any other kinks? I'm like, just calm down and focus on this one, please. You can barely satisfy me and you're asking for a friend. Like, I don't know this audience. Why are they always asking for a friend? You can barely satisfy one girl.
Wait, you encounter that a lot?
Every single
like, do you have a friend?
Guy.
Do you have a friend? Can we get
every single
a threesome
guy.
Going?
Yeah, and we're just like two hot trans girls just like writhing around in a bed naked waiting for you.
God, that must be so fucking frustrating. Men in general are frustrating.
Are pigs, yeah. I mean, that's why I didn't want to be one. That's why I made it a one. Let's be honest.
You were like, I don't want to be like that.
Both of those to pick from, what would you do? The one that doesn't smell?
I mean, yeah, I fucking feel you. I say it all the time. I'm like, being attracted to men is so humiliating. I wish I wasn't.
I know. It'd be so much easier.
It really would.
But then, I mean, not always, because lesbians are like men. But they're gentlemen, though. Like,
okay.
You can get you a good lesbian, they are gentlemen.
That's so funny. Get you a good lesbian. That's
get
what you need to
do. Get you a good lesbian,
get
they'll open the door.
Good lesbian.
They'll open the door. They got a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll take care, honey.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll get myself a good lesbian. I don't know. I truly don't close the door to anything, but I just like, right now in my life, I'm like, I really do just want a boyfriend. I want a man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Santa will bring me one. Maybe the new year will bring me one. I don't fucking know, Sasha. Ugh. I can't believe that, like, nobody's sliding into your DMs to be like, date me. That's so wild to me.
All right. So how much longer do you have in this podcast? Because I'm trying to hold up, but I am talking to somebody.
What? Oh, you are?
But I don't want it to, like, mark this, like, podcast to mark that.
I see. Okay.
But, yeah, I am talking to someone, and we will see. It's been a month, and he's actually everything that you...
Sasha, I love that
we won't
for
jinx
you.
That, but we'll see. I know.
No, we're not jinxing it. I think it's people talk about jinxing shit all the time or like, don't talk about stuff or whatever. I think it's like manifesting. You're like, this person is really great to me. And it's
period.
Like, not that I want anything more, but it's like, I want them to continue being great to me.
Yeah.
I want them to continue to be supportive and continue to be like, you know, a bright spot in my life. I think it's going to be a good thing. I'm excited for you.
It's exciting. And yeah, kind of undoing all the trauma we just talked about, like really like just like a nice, supportive, kind person.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Okay, what advice do you have for me?
Okay.
To get into a relationship?
A relationship? Probably don't want to be in a relationship. Then it comes, right? I don't know. I think, yeah. I mean, after, it just happens whenever you least expect it, really. And I don't know when it does happen. The advice that I would give, I mean, I don't even know, like, because it could just come anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised, too, that no one's all in there, in them DMs.
Me, too. I mean, there are some people up in my DMs, but also it's like, do I feel compatible with them? Do I want them?
Well, also, it's a level of high standards in oneself, too, and that's important.
Yeah. I do have a little bit of standards, and I do joke about, like, being desperate and not having standards, but it's like, I do.
Yeah,
because if I didn't, I would be dating whoever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just being a monster.
Yeah, and like, just being awful, yeah, being like, whatever. Line.
Yeah, wow. Like our 20s.
Yeah, oh my God, my 20s were disgusting. I was such a wild little beast, truly just doing any old thing all the time.
just a glutton for like, just a wanderlust.
We have come to the end, Sasha, and I do want to ask, because I ask most of my guests, I've only forgotten it a couple times, would you date me?
Oh, totally. Oh my gosh,
yes!
I'm so glad you didn't forget.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down. We can go on a double. We can go on a date to go find more dates.
I love you that. Know? That would be so hunting. Nice. Just a real manhunt. Find somebody.
Put the bear trap.
catch them. Do you have anything that you want to promote?
Besides date me, no. yeah, actually, I have a ponytail line that's out. You can check it out at salonextensions.com or on thesashacolby.com, where you can get all your Sasha Colby information, including downloading my new single called Feel the Power, alongside, I'm really excited about this, next year, early this upcoming year, and starting February 28th, I'll be starting my own one-woman tour. I'll be touring 22 cities all over the U.S. and really excited to kind of just have like this beautiful, intimate night with, you know, fans and friends. And it's called Stripped. So it's a play on my drag and really just a stripped down version of stories and things that have made mother a mother. You know, how did she get here? And I'm also doing a open call that it's allowing me to have one up and coming drag performer from each city that I'll be in to have a chance to perform with me. So we're asking for audition tapes, and we're going to pick the best, most well-rounded drag performer that represents your city.
Mm-hmm.
And that means all drag is valid. So, you know, all kinds of drag kings, any fab drag performers. You know, we're here to see it all.
Mother wants to see. I love that. That's so fucking cool. Like, you're going to make someone's whole life. Like, that's incredible.
It's really fun. It's going to be great.
Give him that. Sasha, thank you so much for being here.
Did I do the show? Did I do the podcast? Oh, my God.
You did it. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, rate it, subscribe, give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something nasty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, I will read it. This person said, "Hey, Nicole, if I were a sculptor, I'd carve you out of marble, starting with your massive ass as the focal point. Your booty is a mountain of lust, and I'm a climber, ready to scale its curves and revel in the exquisite view from its summit. Love you." That was nice. That wasn't nasty.
That
I really
nice.
Liked it.
Who is that?
It's from Anonymous.
Anonymous.
It's from Anonymous.
Make yourself known, Anonymous.
Make yourself known. Write me another. All right. Bye-bye.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, with talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.